Now let's consider the topic of castes and the groundwater trade in India. The topic of caste is a very sensitive one, so at first I was a little reluctant to discuss it at all. But nonetheless, there is some economic research on caste, so I thought, well, let's at least take a look. If you'd like an overview of some of the recent economic papers on caste, go to a website called www.nber.org, that's for the National Bureau of Economic Research, and just type the word caste into their search function, and at least four or five papers will come up. Of all the papers on caste, the one I think I found the most interesting is by Suan Anderson. It's called Caste as an Impediment to Trade, and it was published in 2011 in the American Economic Journal. Anderson draws upon data from Northeast India and considers two different kinds of villages. The first kind of village is dominated by an upper caste, and it tends to contain castes of many different kinds, and these villages in general are more heterogeneous. The second kind of village is dominated by what is called lower backward agricultural caste, and these villages tend to have mostly individuals from that caste. The question will be, how do the economics of these two different kinds of villages differ? The answer to that question will depend critically on groundwater irrigation. Keep in mind that most of the outputs in these villages are indeed agricultural. Here are two main results from the paper. First, trade in water for irrigation seems to run best in the lower caste villages. That is, the trade is more efficient in villages which are relatively homogeneous and villages which are ruled predominantly by lower caste members. To make this quantitative, it seems that agricultural yields are on average about 45% higher in the lower caste villages. Of course, that's a pretty big difference. Note that Anderson goes to great lengths to argue that the two different kinds of villages here really are sufficiently comparable for this number to make sense. You can read the details of that discussion in the paper. Maybe we can interpret this result in terms of a governance story. So consider the villages which have a larger number of upper caste individuals, and of course those upper caste individuals will tend to have leadership roles in the village. It may be harder for upper and lower caste individuals to trade when it's the upper caste individuals who are controlling governance. When it comes to trying to figure out what an agreement or a contract said, if the upper caste individual is generally going to be favored, this may raise transactions costs, and it may make the market in trading water less efficient and harder to consummate transactions. In contrast, if the lower caste individuals are controlling the village councils and doing most of the trading of water, it may be easier for them to reach cooperative agreements which are then enforced over time in the manner in which they were initially understood. What to make of all of this? From my vantage point, I find it very difficult to figure out just how strong or how weak a result this is. Nonetheless, Anderson is a highly respected researcher in the area, and this is a very interesting paper. If you'd like to read an interesting paper on the economics of caste in India, this is one place where I would recommend you could start.